now is Bread of His Presence with your host, Pastor Cameron Urie, Senior Pastor and Bible Teacher at Renton Park Chapel in Renton, Washington.
Well, greetings and welcome to Bread of His Presence. You know, over the past few weeks, we've been looking at a fascinating teaching technique of the ancient rabbis called remez, then called the rabbinical art of allusion. And this is when a rabbi would quote a specific line of scripture from a larger body of text that he knew his audience would have committed to memory. And so in quoting that line, he would be calling to their minds the wider context, the verses before or after. And it was often in that wider context, the unspoken part, that often the audience would find and feel the full brunt of the rabbi's point. Now, when you and I look at the Gospels through that rabbinical Jewish lens, we find that Jesus, in fact, does this all the time. And we've been looking at example after example of passages in the New Testament where Jesus gives an Old Testament quote, and then we look it up and find the full impact of what Jesus meant. Now, I'm not saying that you can't understand Jesus' words at all if you don't know the Old Testament. Neither am I saying that what is written in the Gospels when Jesus is quoting from the Old Testament is not what he really meant. What I am saying, rather, is that oftentimes those points that Jesus is making are a way of connecting us to other points that are also non-verbally being made. You know, there's a prominent biblical scholar by the name of Ken Bailey who is deeply familiar with Middle Eastern culture and languages, both past and present. And as such, he's become known for his tremendous insights into the Gospels. But when he was asked whether his discoveries would threaten to overturn what Christians think that they know about the Bible, Bailey responded by saying this. He said, "Suppose I've spent my life going to a beach. I've seen waves splashing against rocks, ships on the water, fishermen casting lines. But then one day, at this beach, someone says, 'Hey Ken, I have two snorkels. Let's go diving.' And we do. And suddenly I see coral, seaweed, and fish. These undersea views in no way invalidate the beauty of what's above. But in my work, I'm looking for the coral and the fish." You see, that is what you and I are trying to do in this series. We're not trying to undermine what Jesus is saying. We're simply coming to recognize, through the snorkel, through the rabbinical art of allusion, that there's often more to Jesus' words than what first meets the unaided eye. You know, many of us have had our attention directed to Hawaii in recent days, for very negative reasons, unfortunately, because of all the devastation and loss of lives, because of the fires that have rampaged that land. But nevertheless, Hawaii remains a very beautiful and fascinating place, awe-inspiring place, really, and I cannot wait to go someday. I've never been. But when I do, I would love to go and see Mauna Loa, the volcano on the island of Hawaii. It's not the tallest peak on Hawaii. That would be Mauna Kea, another summit on the same island. Mauna Kea is slightly higher than Mauna Loa. But if you were to go to the local shop and trade your snorkel in for some deep diving gear, which I would love to try sometime if I could ever get over my fear of sharks. if you ever did that, if you dove into the watery depths, you would discover that Mauna Loa is not only larger than Mauna Kea, but Mauna Loa is actually the world's largest mountain. It is 3/4 of a mile taller than Mount Everest. And while underwater, you would also see that Mauna Loa connects to an underwater mountain range that forms the rest of the Hawaiian Islands. And so what I want you to see is that, yes, often what Jesus says is the point. But below the surface, there are other points being made that we won't know unless we look underneath. The words Jesus speaks the geographical movements he makes, the feasts that he not only attends but also fulfills, are all connected to a larger body of text that we as Christians are simply unaware of because we don't know the text, by which I mean the Old Testament, the way that Jews often do. Orthodox Jews, even today, who have studied the words of Jesus, they pick up on so much more that we just miss out on. And the reason we're ignorant of these things, and we'll talk more about this later, is because of how separated the church has become from its Jewish roots. A separation that stretches all the way back to the first few centuries of the early church. Some of it was driven by a desire for Christians to show themselves distinct from Judaism, which wasn't always bad. But there were also those, even leaders of the church, popes that were rabidly anti-Semitic, who did everything in their power to remove what they saw as the stain of Judaism from Christianity. And with that divorce of the church from Judaism, we lost a tremendous amount of priceless insight into the person and identity of the Jewish Jesus and what he said. And more recently in our history, there has been a movement to restore that important element of Jesus that has been lost. And really the best thing that you and I can do, if we want to understand Jesus better, is to become better acquainted with the Old Testament. Because that was the book that he lived in and taught from. And today I'd like to look at yet another example of the ancient rabbinical technique of Remez. And to do that, I want to take you to a place called Machaerus. It's in Jordan and was one of Herod's forts. And according to the Jewish historian Josephus, this is where John the Baptist was imprisoned and then killed. He gives a very much longer version of that than what is given to us in the Bible. Now, he of course isn't inspired, but he has been shown historically to be pretty accurate. And so John is imprisoned in this palace on this hill, and this is where the banquet was likely held, where Herodias' daughter, Salome, danced for her stepfather and for all his guests. And when he offered to grant anything she asked, she, at the behest of her mother, demanded the beheading of John the Baptist. Now, picture this for a second, because John is sitting there in jail. And he knows that nobody gets out of Herod's jail. And so he's feeling very discouraged. He's being crushed under that weight of depression. And so what does he do? He sends his disciples to Jesus with what? A question, of course. And this is the question. It says, summoning two of his disciples, John sent them to the Lord, saying, "Are you the one who is to come? Or should we look for someone else?" Now, have you ever wondered why John asked it that way? Of course not. That's just what we've grown up hearing that John the Baptist asked. But why didn't he ask, "Are you the Messiah?" Or, "Are you the promised son of David?" Or, "Are you the shoot out of Jesse's stump?" Why does he use the specific phrase, "Are you the one who is to come?" Literally in Greek, it's the coming one. Do you know the verse? You hear it every year. Zechariah 9:9. "Rejoice greatly, daughter Zion. Shout, daughter Jerusalem. See, your king comes to you, righteous and victorious, lowly and riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey." When John asked this of Jesus, Jesus immediately recognized where it was from. Any Orthodox Jew, if you say the coming one, or the one who is to come, they will immediately recognize it's from Zechariah. Now, why would John want to reference Zechariah? Well, what comes after this? Look at verses 10 through 12. It says, "I will take away the chariots from Ephraim, and the war horses from Jerusalem, and the battle bow will be broken. He will proclaim peace to the nations. His rule will extend from sea to sea, and from the river to the ends of the earth. As for you, because of the blood of my covenant with you, I will free your prisoners from the waterless pit. Return to your fortress, you prisoners of hope. Even now, I announce that I will restore twice as much to you. What is John asking? If you're the Messiah, why am I still here in this prison? Now, you know what other passage John was referencing? Malachi 3, 1 through 2, which says, I will send my messenger. Who's the messenger? John, who will prepare the way before me. Then suddenly the Lord you are seeking will come to his temple. The messenger of the covenant, whom you desire, will come, says the Lord, Yahweh Almighty. But who can endure the day of his coming? Who can stand when he appears? For he will be like a refiner's fire or a launderer's soap. You see, John had in the back of his mind all this incredible imagery of fire and judgment and liberation. And yet Rome was still in power. He was still in prison. And there was no peace in the nations. And so he's thinking to himself, you know, I fulfilled my part of the prophecy in being the messenger, in preparing the way of the Lord. So why am I still here in these chains? And why are God's enemies not being destroyed? And so using a remez, John starts prodding Jesus to do some of that big Messiah stuff and start stoking some major judgmental fires. And John knew that his very life depended on it. Now, how does Jesus respond? Well, it says, and he answered and said to them, go and report to John what you have seen and heard. The blind receive sight, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear. The dead are raised up, the poor have the gospel preached to them. Blessed is he who does not take offense at me. Now, here Jesus pulls a number of phrases from Isaiah. Isaiah 35:5, Isaiah 26:19, Isaiah 61:1. He pulls all of them together. But Isaiah 35:5 through 6 is the key one. It reads, then will the eyes of the blind be opened, and the ears of the deaf unstopped. Then will the lame leap like a deer, and the mute tongue shout for joy. Water will gush forth in the wilderness, and streams in the desert. Now, what we typically hear is Jesus giving evidence that he truly is the Messiah, because he's healing, just as the prophecy in Isaiah said the Messiah would heal. And that was a very important part of Jesus' message to John, because it reminded John that the Messiah was prophesied as one who would not only bring judgment, but would also bring healing. But there was also a word of encouragement in there for John specifically. And it's this element, I think, that we completely miss. Because look at what it says before Isaiah 35:5 through 6. It says in verses 3 through 4, strengthen the feeble hands, steady the knees that give way. Say to those with fearful hearts, be strong, do not fear. Your God will come. He will come with vengeance. With divine retribution, he will come to save you. You see, Jesus was telling John that he was fulfilling the scriptures more fully than John could ever have imagined. But now was the time for God to pour out his mercy. His judgment would come later. And you know, that is what you and I need to remember as we wait for the second coming of the coming one. Just as assuredly as he fulfilled his ministry of healing, he also will fulfill his ministry of judgment. and salvation for those who have placed their faith in Him. And so no matter what prison you may be abiding in right now, rest in the assurance that Jesus gave to John, knowing that He will give you justice. He will come to save you. He will give rest to your soul if you are faithful to abide in Him and keep His word. And so let's commit to do that this day and every day, so that we might be ready for when He comes to collect you and me. Let's do so. Amen.
Today's episode of Bread of His Presence is brought to you by Renton Park Chapel, a church that is committed to the ministry of sharing the joy of hearing and doing God's Word, and to the mission of bringing people into the life-giving presence of Jesus Christ in and through vibrant preaching, teaching, Bible study, prayer, and ministry to a world that is in desperate need of the healing touch of Jesus Christ. If you'd like to learn more about our ministry here at Renton Park Chapel, or would like to subscribe to the Bread of His Presence podcast, you can visit us online at rentonparkchapel.org or breadofhispresence.org. You can also find us on Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, and Instagram. We look forward to hearing from you. Thank you for listening, and may you know all the fullness of having in your life the bread of the presence of God.